Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture reading this morning is from Luke 1, 57 through 80, from the New Revised Standard Version. Now came the time for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all of these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel.
Thank you, Joan, and thank you, choir. Beautiful. Thank you. You may have noticed that for the past few weeks, our liturgy, our calls to worship, and our prayers of confession have been highlighting the theme of home. Have you noticed that? You'll notice it in the days ahead. We're using a liturgy from a group called Sanctified Art, and you'll hear this language about and these images around home throughout the Advent and the Christmas season. And it's an interesting and an appropriate image for Advent on many levels. On a most basic level, Christmas is often a nostalgic time of year. Many people long to be at home or to go home. We felt that in a particular and powerful way last year when most of us didn't or weren't able to go home to wherever or whoever that meant for us. Some of us long for the homes of our childhood, homes that no longer exist beyond the chambers of our memories. Some of us are grieving the loss of home as we've known it. And others of us grieve the absence of any sense of home, past or present, whether that be a physical or emotional or spiritual home. Many of us still yearn, still hope for places and spaces that feel safe, secure, peaceful, restorative, for places and spaces that feel as home should feel. And not only is home, our homes, a part of the landscape of Advent, but the notion of God making a home among us, with us, is part of the Advent story too. because it's a season when we remember the ways in which God came to us in and through the person of Jesus, the ways God continues to come to us in our here and now, and the ways God will come to us in the future. In the book of Revelation, it says, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes." God at home, ultimately at home, suggests a time when justice and mercy are fully realized, when suffering and struggling have come to an end, when peace among the nations throughout all of creation shall reign. And during Advent, we recognize that in some ways, Emmanuel, God at home, God with us, has already happened. In some ways, it's a done deal. God came incarnate in Jesus to be Emmanuel, God with us. We know the story very well. But in other ways, God is still coming. The homecoming is underway. All we have to do is look around us, at our world, at our loved ones, within our own hearts and spirits, to know that God's homecoming is not yet fully realized, not fully complete. So there's a definitive yes that accompanies Advent. Yes, God came in the Christ child. And there is also a mysterious not yet quality to Advent as we long for what is still becoming, for what is yet to be. And our scripture readings for Advent this year invite us to pause, to wait, to watch, to reflect more deeply on this notion of God who comes to make a home among mortals, among us. Our passage for today invites us into the literal home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest at the temple, and he and his wife Elizabeth, we're told, were good and righteous and upstanding people. They had been unable to have children, and as our gospel writer Luke rather diplomatically says, we're getting on in years. One day, Zechariah was chosen to light the incense in the temple, and while alone, he had an encounter with the angel Gabriel. Gabriel announced to Zechariah that Elizabeth would have a child, and that this child would be named John, and that John would play an important part in helping people to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Zechariah, faithful as he was, had a few doubts, understandably. He said to Gabriel, "I'm an old man, and Elizabeth is getting on in years." And Gabriel told Zechariah that because he did not believe Gabriel's words, that Zechariah would be mute, unable to speak until all of these things had occurred. Seems a little bit harsh, right? Poor guy. So Zechariah was mute for a significant period of time prior to our scripture reading for today, prior to the birth of his and Elizabeth's son, John, who would, by the way, grow up to be the one known to us as John the Baptist. And I have to wonder about what that time was like for Zechariah. What do you think? Was he angry? Was he frustrated? Did he ever just give into it and feel some sense of freedom related to not having to talk? What did he do? What did he hear? We'll fill in more of the details of this story over the next few weeks, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, spent about 3 months with Zechariah and Elizabeth during Elizabeth's pregnancy. What conversations did he overhear between Mary and Elizabeth? Conversations that perhaps he would never have had the ears to hear if everything had been business as usual. In this period of silence, of listening, of perceiving, perhaps in an entirely new way, what did Zechariah discover? What, if anything, was revealed to him? It's hard for us to entirely know. Zechariah was released from this period of muteness after he confirmed that the child was to be called John. It's interesting to me that the family and friends and neighbors asked Elizabeth about the child's name, and when they discovered that she didn't intend to name him Zechariah after his father, they turned to Zechariah. They moved up the hierarchy a notch to see if there was perhaps a better, different, more appropriate answer. But Zechariah confirmed that the baby's name would be John, writing it down on a tablet because he was still mute at that point. And in so doing, we get a sense that Zechariah was. He was changed by that period of silence. He somehow came to embrace his part, his wife's part, his son's part in the movement of this sacred story. This child wasn't to be named Zechariah after him. It wasn't about him after all. This child was John with a holy purpose in the divine movement of God and God's homecoming to God's people. And so Zechariah didn't emerge from this imposed period of muteness, of listening, of contemplating, of waiting, of watching, with a string of expletives, as some of us might have. What in the holy heck just happened? No, he emerged with this beautiful blessing for his newborn child. It's called the Song or Canticle of Zechariah, and it's exquisite. I've shared several of Jan Richardson's blessings with you. In her book called Circle of Grace, she talks about blessings as illuminating the link between the sacred and the ordinary, and as conveying God's deepest desire for our wholeness and well-being, both individually and as a community. With these words of blessing, Zechariah grounds John's ordinary human life in divine purpose and whispers sacred words of promise into that brand new little being in hopes that this child would grow up to be fully the person God created and invited him to be. I imagine that those of you who are parents can especially relate to this. I was talking with Les about this text, and she shared that from their earliest days, she spoke and sang blessings into the ears of her two sons. Now, some of those words and songs admittedly had to do with loving baseball. That was on day one and two. She tried to get them started early. But other words and songs of blessing had to do with things like seeing and sharing kindness in the world. I'm sure you who are parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles have done very much the same with your little ones. What poured forth from Zechariah's lips after this imposed period of silence were profound and beautiful words that shaped John's life and ministry throughout all his days. They were words that connected his ordinary story, their ordinary lives, with the movement and purpose of the divine. You know, there are times when I've imagined the birth of Jesus as a very isolated event. Just Mary and Joseph and Jesus, a few sheep, some cattle, no one else around, cold, a little lonely, as if that Christmas Eve tableau was somehow plopped down in Bethlehem, in the middle of nowhere, out of thin air. But this passage, all of these Advent passages, remind me of what an amazing storyteller God is and how many people God wants to gather into this unfolding tale. Because really, Jesus was born into an intricate web of relationships. Zechariah was a part of the story. Elizabeth was a part. John had a part. We'll talk more about John's grown-up part next week. But Jesus was born into this family, and the story couldn't have been told fully without them. Zechariah's song of blessing at the beginning of John's life reminds us of the power of these interconnected stories and the power of blessing as we seek the fullness of who we've been created to be in this divine narrative, and as we seek to support others in being fully who they've been created to be. So perhaps the invitation for us this week is twofold. First, we might ponder how we make space for holy blessings in our own lives. Do we remember those who have blessed us along our way? Do we nurture those stories as we seek to live into our own unique callings? Do we revisit their words, their actions, their affirmations, their hopes for us? Blessings that likely shaped us, that continue to shape us in the living of our days? Do we find ourselves in the here and now deflecting words of affirmation? Or do we, will we have ears to hear and hearts to receive blessings that continue to come our way? And secondly, do we take seriously our capacity to offer blessings to another? Do we pause, stop, listen long enough to get a sense of how God might be moving in another's life? Do we recognize and honor the power of our words, their power to tear down or their power to bless, to build up? Are we courageous enough to speak deep and tender and hopeful words to one another, not only for the sake of the other's wholeness and well-being, but for the sake of the movement of divine love and redemption in the world? In his song, his blessing, Zechariah lifts up John's unique role as the one who would go before the Lord to prepare his ways. And then he concludes with these remarkable words. I just want us to hear them again. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He blesses John to do his part and then leaves the rest up to God. We all have a part. We all do our part. Not perfectly, of course, but we will do our part. Zechariah was Zechariah. Elizabeth was Elizabeth. John was John. If we love and bless and encourage one another to be who we've been created and invited to be, we will all do our part. Bill will be Bill. Betty will be Betty. Kathy will be Kathy. This is so much fun, I want you to join me in this. So if you know the name of one other person in here, I want you to say their name and say, that person will be that person, right? But if you don't know anybody, you can say David. So just pick somebody and say, whoever you want to say, David will be David. And maybe one more, Patty will be Patty. And then the last one is you, right? Because you're part of the story too. So I want you to say your name. Lori will be Lori. Yes. We will all do our part. And in so doing, we become a part of the story that is still being told, the story that is still becoming, the story of how God's tender mercy is still breaking upon us, giving us light and guiding our feet step by step. We will get there into the ways of peace. Thanks be to God who invites us on the journey to be a part of that life-giving story. Amen.
Amen.
Before we enter into this time of prayer, I know that many of you have heard, but wanted to share with the rest of you that our brother in Christ, Harold, died this past week. And so we keep Malia and her entire family in our prayers. I was looking back over the records. Harold joined this church in 1950. So he was a member for 71 years, which is a remarkable thing. And his faith and his witness in this place and everywhere he went are a part of the legacy that he leaves with us. So I ask for your continued prayers for Malia and all of Harold's family.
And he sang in the choir.
And he sang in the choir. I didn't know that. Meals on Wheels. See, all of these things. We will celebrate his life in the next few weeks, too, and we'll get your information about that coming up. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we come to you in this time of prayer, mindful of our own hurts and hopes and needs, mindful of the hurts and hopes and needs of our family members, our friends, our neighbors, our world. We are grateful for your creating, redeeming, and sustaining presence in our midst. We are grateful that you provide light for our paths and strength for our journeys. We pray for those who are struggling in body, mind, heart, or spirit. Draw near to each one with healing, with comfort, with encouragement. Pour out your tender mercy, especially upon the family of Harold and all who are grieving this day. Make us instruments of your peace that we might offer your transforming love to those who are weary or afraid, hurting or hungry for kindness. In the season of Advent, we are mindful of all that home is and is not for so many. We pray for those who are without a place to call home. We pray for those who suffer violence or uncertainty in their homes. We pray for those who are struggling to keep their homes. Help us to build places and spaces, literal and figurative, where all of your people have enough and can find safety, shelter, peace, dignity, comfort, and rest. Mindful of all the ways that you come to us, past, present, and future, quiet our hearts and minds that we might listen to you and for you this Advent season. Expand our understanding of who and how we are a part of your divine, redeeming story. Make space in us to receive the blessings that guide and encourage us, that we might live into the life to which we are called, offering blessing, affirmation, and encouragement to others along the way. By your tender mercy, O God, guide our feet. Guide our feet and our hands and our hearts, our whole lives, into the way of peace. Peace within us, peace around us, peace among us, near and far. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.